Hi, welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 19. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
And we didn't even have to worry about a surgical operation. The Sabbath day, hey, he handled that. He is our rest. He is the one who has given us rest, and we live in a Sabbatism. And that's 4:9 of Hebrews, we're told. We have entered into his rest already, just by ceasing from our own works. And so we have the Sabbath being kept. He is all of it. And so Jesus is the one we see. And we understand also that Hebrews 4:12 is still true. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and of the spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. Intents. You see, the person who hid his pound that he was given, and the one who hides it because he fears, he hasn't looked at Jesus like Zacchaeus looked. Who is he? Who is he? He is good. He said, I feared. And that was not supposed to be the way you go. But you know what? If you're going to treat me as if I'm to be feared, then I will deal with you as if I am to be feared. The Bible says in verse 22, and he saith, out of thine own mouth I judge you then. If you think I'm mean, if you've not paid attention close enough to see who I am, he says, I'll judge you out of your own mouth, thou wicked servant. You knew that I was austere. The word austere literally comes from the word air, okay, in Greek, but it comes to a word that means to be blown and be rough like a gale. You're just harsh and tough. We've seen this before in our study in Luke. People don't see Jesus properly, and so as a result of that, they misjudge him and miscalculate who he is and what he's about. He says, because of that, he says, you should have given mine to the bank in verse 23, and you'd have mine own with the usury. But no, you didn't do that. You didn't even do that. Now, I've often made the connection to those who are electionists who won't go out and do anything for God because they've managed to convince themselves that somehow they don't have to do anything because God's got it all figured out and everybody who's going to be saved doesn't need us. Well, that's not what it says. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, right? Now, that's not just the disciples. That's all of us. We're supposed to be, as you are going, telling people about Jesus. Now, to me, I concern myself much because I see him saying, this is a basic. If you think I'm mean, it's because you haven't drilled into something. Okay, because I'm not mean. In fact, it's the book of Romans that says, don't you know that it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance? It's the goodness of God. You're not going to change if you don't see how good he is. You have to realize that there are two kingdoms. There are two ways. And now we're seeing it on steroids, and we need to just get in line with Jesus. And if we can't see that maybe we've been allowing ourselves to manipulate the facts a little bit, you know, like the world we accuse of doing all the time, manipulating the facts, massaging the truth, adjusting the reality. Well, if we can't see ourselves doing the very same things, then there's something wrong if, in fact, we are guilty of doing it. Because we put his coinage under the bushel. We've put it in a napkin. We buried it in the backyard. We don't want anybody to know that we're really, truly Christians. And we don't want them to know that he's really, really the King and the Lord and the good one. Not me. I'm not the good guy. It's not me. I'm smart. No, I'm not smart. I'm not smart at all. The older I get, the more I realize I'm not smart. I need God's Word. I'm like the psalmist. He's made me wiser than my teachers because I've heeded your law. Not because I'm smart. Because I got nothing down here because the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all. And I have to realize only he can truly be trusted. So I commend him to you. Not me. Him. To you. And we have to commend Jesus to the people around us. The Bible says, take that man and give the pound that he has to the one who had 10 pounds. And everybody chimed in, Lord, he has 10 pounds. See, that's the murmuring of the earlier moment. They were really murmuring. He says, this is my parable. And I'm telling you, you guys are just like that. What, he can't have more? He already has 10. They were eaten up with avarice. They always wanted more. Verse 26 says, for I say unto you, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and to him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither too, and slay them before me. They my enemies. Remember, the older men said, hey, we aren't going to have that man rule over us. Not weak-kneed, squeamish, and faint of heart people. These were people that were just totally against him. And in verse 28 it says, and when he had thus spoken, he went ascending up to Jerusalem. Now, we see him talking about Zacchaeus, and we see him talking about people who've equivocated and changed things and manipulated things, and some who got with the program. We talked about this earlier in our Sunday school class, about how the devil is behind the wicked, and how God is behind the righteous. The wind, the austerity, the wind of God can be ridden, or it can be a driving force in your life that makes you feel uncomfortable. You and I are supposed to remember that God is good. He is to be trusted. And we need to really be looking to follow what He wants us to do, because that's where you get the fluidity of your day-to-day life. You see, it's when you find yourself really down in the dumps that that's the red light on your dashboard. Man, I need Jesus. Find a song and knock it off. We have to not be unthankful, but be thankful. And that means we have to figure out a way to get there. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be walking around always smiling. It just means that even if there's a tear in your eye, you know God's good. Even if there's a tear in your eye, you know there is a heaven to gain, and it's coming, and it won't be long. And even if we have some terrible tragedies come into our lives, man, this whole world's falling apart. And that's for our benefit in many ways, because we can say, I don't like it down here anymore. I'm going to go home. I'm going to see my loved ones. That's what we look for. And that's how you overcome. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So what we see then is he has two men go down, and these two guys go down, and they get the donkey, and you know, they say the words that Jesus had them say and all that. What was that all about? Why is that even in there? It's because these are guys who already are trusting the system God has in mind. They're living by that system. And when they go and they find a little bit of a hitch, you know, what are you doing taking that colt? They said, the Lord needs it. And they let it. And what I'm saying is that you and I have a word from our God. If you'll go, He'll go with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You may take a beeline to the left or to the right, but He's standing really at arm's length saying, I'm right here. And so we see them actually living by the system that is a heavenly system. And the Bible says in verse 32 that they went, they found, and then somebody challenged them on it in verse 33. And in verse 34, they said exactly what He said to say, and they brought Him to Jesus. It all worked out just like He said it would. He's illustrating there are two kingdoms, there are two systems. And pragmatic people who live according to the system of this world are going to be disappointed. But people who live pragmatically according to the system of the kingdom of God will find Him there for them. And so the call is for us to get in the right lane that He wants us to be in. And then they took and they put their garments on the colt, and then they put their clothes in the way, and man, they're like dancing like David when he brought in the ark. I mean, they're half-clothed, just dancing, because He's coming, and they're singing, praise the Lord. And they say, blessed is the King, in verse 38, peace in heaven, glory in the highest. What is happening? The austerity is not a bad thing. It's an inspirational thing. They're excited about what's happening. The King is coming. Probably in their minds, they're remembering Jesus talking about Zechariah's prophecy of the King coming, lowly seated upon an ass colt, and He's presenting Himself. And they're excited. This is it. Now, they don't get it. They're going to be disappointed eventually, but right now, they're in the right zone. And they'll remember that zone. Because it's that they're going to remember when they get the Holy Spirit. They're going to say, man, we were with the Holy Spirit. This is what that's like. Listen. We can't dictate to God how this thing's going to unfold. But what we can do is be assured that God's with us when we go through it, no matter what it may be. And they said to Him, Master, rebuke your disciples, in verse 39. And He says, if I told these to be quiet, the very stones would cry out. And then we see Him weeping over Jerusalem in verse 41, because He knows He has to die for their sin. A sin of not only having made a mess of the Old Testament, but by calling out for crucify Him in the next couple of days. He knows what they're going to do. And He knows He has to do this. There's only one way that this thing can work out, and that's that Jesus dies. Now listen, God calls you and me to live for Him. Jesus was willing to die for us. And there should be a reaction back to him that says, you know what? You're God. I'm going to just do the basics. I'm going to invest in the bank. I'm going to give mine for usury. I'm going to get something. I'm going to be in church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to be a member of a church. You know, and this is not rocket science. It's just basics. We don't think about, we don't enjoy anything anymore. We don't go to church anymore. We don't read the Bible anymore. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do. I'm telling you guys, this is a scary day when we act like we can tell God what's up. These are basics. We need to do what God wants us to do now, because it's called trimming your lamp. And you have a stronger witness when you're doing things God's way. Because you'll know you've not been fudging on this thing. You'll know that you've not been equivocating. You'll know that you've not been telling God what's supposed to be and what's not supposed to be. The Bible says that he was weeping over it because the days are coming in verse 43 when your enemies are going to cast a trench and compass thee about and keep you in on every side. They're going to slay you. They're going to slay your children. And they're going to not leave one stone upon another because you knew not this day of thy visitation. Do you know what he's saying over it again now? Watch what happens. He says, if you'd have known this was the time of your peace. He wants them to know that this is the day of their peace. Over and again, he'll mention it. And he goes in to the temple and he cleans the temple and he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer and you've made it a den of thieves. Now understand, the church is not the house of prayer. The temple was. That's where they took their sacrifices and they said, Lord, forgive us. Here's my sacrifice. What we are is the pillar and ground of the truth. The cross is our Emancipation Proclamation. Jesus died. That was our sacrifice. And we come, we do pray in the church, but it's not the house of prayer. His house among the Jewish people was a place where everybody was supposed to be able to come and find a sacrifice accepted that would get them from here to home. And the Bible says, but the chief priests and the scribes and those guys, they wanted to destroy him. What happened? The Bible says they couldn't find an opportunity because all the people were very attentive to hear him. You see how it started? Zacchaeus wanted to see him. Who is this guy? That's all he wanted to know. Who is he? And in the end, you have people in the crowd that are saying, tell me more. It's couched into a very powerful place of pragmatism. This world, this system, it's passing away. And it won't be long before Jesus comes. And when he comes, we want to be those people who can see him and greet him with boldness, as it says in 1 John, and not with shame. We just need to trim our lamps. We need to recognize that there are people who might just say, who is Jesus anyway? And you and I need to be ready to give an answer because this is getting real out here. So I say to you as we conclude that if you'll let your mind's eye go to these things, know this, you're not to be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the world we're living in. It says in Psalm 90, verse 5, you carry them away as with a flood. This is what's going to happen to the world. You carry them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass, which groweth up and then withers. Isaiah 59, 19 says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood and the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I don't know if the enemy's coming in right now, but I'll tell you what, it sure feels like it. And if the Lord allows this thing to go sideways, which is very possible he may, you and I still know that that's because the end is coming nearer and nearer. Everything's ready, man. We've got marks, we've got AI, and we've got ability to be observed and corralled, and we can be manipulated, and we can be told things that are untrue over and over again. The whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. And God's telling you and me, this is not the economy that will last. The one above is the one that will last. Will you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.